Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. I hope that you are enjoying your day or your evening, depending on when you're listening. I hope that your beverage is hot or cold, depending on your needs. You know, I am just a full service radio show host, really. I just want you to be as happy as you can be as you listen to our show today. We're going to talk about, speaking of happiness, we're going to talk about everlasting love. Keeping your marriage fresh and your love long-lasting, regardless of how many times you have to pick up their underwear from the floor. That was a big shock to me when I first got married, that my husband would come with underwear and it would not know where it belonged. We were very young. You know, it doesn't happen very often. And nowadays, I don't pick it up. I just walk past it. Like, whatever. But when you first get married, it's interesting. Like that merging of two lives, all the baggage, all the way the things were done in your own home, and bringing them together, it's a fascinating thing, truly. So we're going to talk about that, framed around this week's book, The Four Keys to Everlasting Love, How Your Catholic Marriage Can Bring You Joy for a Lifetime, by Carrie Santos and Manuel Santos, MD, her husband. Manny and Carrie have a wonderful ministry called Can We Cana, C-A-N-A, Can We Cana, and they do marriage prep. He is a psychiatrist. I should know which one it is before it comes out of my mouth, but he does marriage counseling, and they do marriage prep. And they have some very wonderful ideas about marriage, how to keep your love everlasting. If your marriage is in trouble, great book. If your marriage is not, great book. If you're preparing to get married, you heard it, great book. If your marriage has fallen apart and you are feeling dejected, or, you know, this is just going to be one more book that shows where you failed or that you're a failure, it won't. So I hope you'll stay for the conversation. I hope that you will be encouraged by it. If you've never been married, I guess in another group here, if you've never been married, this is also a great way to construct your list. I don't know if you know who Immaculée is. She was in Rwanda during the time of the genocide. She was in a bathroom hiding with many other women, and she prayed the rosary several million times a day for Our Lady to protect her, to end this violence there, and to just heal her from the everything that she had seen and lost, losing her family. And once she got out of the bathroom, once she was allowed to live again as a free woman in her country, she ended up coming to the United States. So once she started to once again have a life, she made a list. She made a list of who she wants to marry. Like, what qualities should that guy have? She made this great list, and I thought, what a wonderful idea. I wish every woman who is waiting for Prince Charming, such a misnomer, who's waiting for their soulmate would make a list of all of those things that comprise their soulmate. And Immaculée would eat and come home and look over the list, and she finally realized that she was dating the one when she got to the end of the list, and she had crossed off every item. Pretty romantic stuff, right? Sometimes that's part of the problem of marriage, because we romanticize it, and we think that infatuation, that falling in love piece of marriage, we think it's going to remain forever in that state. And when it doesn't, we feel like there's something wrong. Oh, I've fallen out of love. And you start looking again for that rush of that emotion. But true love is a comfortableness. It is a partnership. It's hard flipping work, not gonna lie. Been for 26 years, 27 years in October. Got married when we were 21 and 23. We were babies and clueless, totally clueless. I really do think it's by the grace of God that we are still together, because my goodness, those were some really, really difficult days. And it did take some counseling, quite honestly, to get past the hump that we felt like after maybe a year, year and a half. It also didn't help that during all of that time, I had memories that I had repressed from being abused to come back. And it was just a mess trying to deal with all of those, finish up college, set up a home with my new husband. Even though we've been together for 5 years, it was quite an interesting time. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. It was an interesting time. And there was a lot going on. Unfortunately, we made it all the more harder by not journeying and putting God into that mix. A little bit later, we did. And it was still hard, but it was not as hard because, as my husband says, it's like our marriage is like a fulcrum point. You know, that the triangle and the balance beam, that balance is right there. You need all three points to get the balance correct. You can never have an imbalance balance beam if you don't have three points. So you need to have your husband, your wife, and then God. You have to have that sacramental part, that spiritual part. He is the creator of the universe. So why we leave him out of stuff? This has been my question, not to rabbit hole, but I'm gonna anyway. I've been really, really thinking a lot about my relationship with God. And sometimes I wonder, like, I don't think it's a right relationship. I think I have gotten to the point where I see us as partners sometimes. I see myself almost not equal, but like, I feel like I can say anything to God, which I kind of can, but not in the way I do. I think that awe and reverence and fear of the Lord, not that petrified of the Lord, but that fear, realizing that he is God and I am not, that part is somehow missing. And I'm not really sure where I lost it, but I really think it's time to get it back, because I'm not going to become a saint by thinking I already am. Mistake number one, you think you already are. I think that it relates so much to marriage, because I'm not going to make a stronger marriage if I already think it's perfect, or I think I am perfect in it, and that it's all about him and what he needs to change. I really believe always evolving. You know, we've been married for, like I said, 26, almost 27. We got married very young. I was in college. I worked part-time, then I went back to school and got my master's degree, took huge loans to do it, decided to live off of a student loan instead of getting a part-time job because I had two little boys. Probably wouldn't go back and redo it. Probably I would have definitely still gotten my master's degree. That was quite an enormous accomplishment. But perhaps I realized I never asked God what he wanted me to do. I was just kind of forging ahead. I must need a degree in technology and education, and I'll go teach. Yeah, as soon as I finished the degree, that job disappeared in just about every school system because the economy started to fall apart. And schools started to cut jobs, and technology was number one cut, and most, at least in our area, it was. So I never used the degree. I feel like now with the social media didn't even exist yet when I got my degree. But I see now how those skills the Lord has made good, as he promises in Romans 8:28. He's made good of it. But, you know, I didn't ask God what to do. And I also really never asked Kevin. I kind of have, for a very, very long time, much to Kevin's chagrin, kind of just forged through with my decisions, thinking, well, Kevin loves me. He'll agree with me. He'd want this too because he loves me. That's not always really a great way to go about things. The communication, we're going to look at that in this book again. The four keys to everlasting love, how your Catholic marriage can bring you joy for a lifetime. Carrie and Manny Santos from Ave Maria Press. Excited to be talking about marriage. I think that this is a discussion we need to have more often. I think we've gotten so wrapped up in discussing what marriage is and debating that back and forth that we've forgotten to actually discuss and encourage and help each other in the actual act of being with another being, being in a relationship, a committed, fully in it for life, freely, fully. They have in the four keys, actually, and the four keys are, and I should know this because I used to teach confirmation, and we had to say this all the time, how a marriage has to be faithful, free, fruitful, and total. That's the four keys to loving faithfully, freely, fruitfully, and totally. And Carrie and Mandy go deeper into that again in the four keys to everlasting love. Carrie will be here on Friday, April, I don't even know, it's 29th, 10 a.m. live. She'll be here to join in our conversation. Excited. I've known her online for many years. I'm excited to hear her voice and speak with her. I know you're going to love her. She has an incredible just gift for sharing God's love. And we're going to talk more about love after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are talking today about love and marriage. I love Princess Bride. So one of your favorites? I'd love to know if you've seen Princess Bride and what is your favorite line in it. You can leave me a message over to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Send me an email at reconcile. Well, that doesn't work. No, you don't want to do that. You want to go to allison@breadboxmedia.com. You can always visit reconciledtoyou.com for show notes, for upcoming events. I think I shared with you, did I get a chance? I probably didn't get a chance because I had Christina on Saturday. I had the most amazing retreat experience. I was invited in to St. Philip's in Greenville, easy for me to say, Rhode Island. Beautiful church, definitely on fire. And I believe it's on fire because fire, because Jesus is there 24/7. It is incredible when you visit a parish where they have 24/7 adoration, which means they have a chapel with the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, out on an altar on the monstrance 24/7. It's incredible to me that the fruit that comes from that in a parish. We only have him out from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and I can see the fruit of that, meaning I can see the devotion that people have, the faith that people have, the strength that they get from spending time in that chapel. I could be absolutely tied in a knot with stress and anxiety, fear, whatever. And I will walk into that chapel. I will kneel down and I can just exhale all of it out. The peace that's there, because I believe, and though I have to be honest, there are days that I kneel there and say, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. My favorite lines from Mark's gospel. Like, as there's days I believe this is you, Jesus, because I'm here. But there's sometimes I kneel and I look and I think, am I just completely off my rocker. Like, seriously, I'm sitting here, I'm kneeling, there's this big gold thing with a piece of bread in the middle of it, and I'm saying, hi, Jesus. Like, I know that sounds crazy. I've sat there thinking, I'm crazy. Like, this can't be real. But I can't deny that I've asked, I've sat there, I've knelt or I've sat and I've said, okay, are you real? And again and again and again, the Lord will do some crazy thing and there's no denying that I am in his presence. There'll be like, I'll be thinking about something, a certain passage in the scriptures perhaps, or just something on my mind, and I'll open up the book I'm reading or I'll open up the Bible. This happened to me a couple times, but this one is really, really powerful. Of course, I don't remember the exact thing I looked up, but basically I was on my knees because I was alone in the chapel at the foot of the altar, and I was really having a crisis of faith. I doubt a lot. I don't know if that shows or not, because, you know, you think of somebody's in ministry, they must just completely have a surrender of the heart to the Lord and they must completely believe. But it's hard because you don't see him and the world can come in and crush that faith so easily. So in adoration, I remember saying one day, you know, like, Lord, I need to know if you're real. And I had this just nudge to get up and go grab the Bible that's at the back of the church. Now, I have had the nudge to grab the Bible and look something up, but I could make the argument, well, it's my Bible. I know where things are in it. It's kind of well-worn. But this was one that didn't even have an Old Testament. So there was no really way for me to gauge where things were because I'd never used it before. And I remember opening it. And I remember the exact verse, but I remember the gist of it. The Allison Abridged version was, you know, no one believe that I am real, like that I am with you always until the end of time. Like the Lord was, like the words were there that were just on my heart a second ago. I call it Godsidence for a reason. Like you just can't make that stuff up. You just, so I know that it's hard to struggle and to believe that God is real. And it makes it even harder to make this leap to what we're going to talk about now, about having God in your relationships, in your life, in your marriage, in whatever. Your relationship with your children, your parents, whatever it is that relationship is that you have with another being, to have God as part of it can be so difficult when you're still trying to figure out if God is real. So I think there's always that balance and that continually to work on our own faith through sacraments, prayer, and scripture. Spending time with the grace trifecta, spending time thinking about God and the things of God, making time for yourself to come together, you know, to share the faith together. If that's something that you're able to do or have contemplated doing, it is crucial that you yourself, again, that's one of the spiritual works of mercy, right? Counsel the doubtful. Well, I'm often the doubtful one being counseled. And when I get that foundation a little stronger, it's easier for me to invite God in to my relationships. And then it's easier for me to accept the teachings of how those relationships are supposed to look or how they can be stronger or better through the lens of the Lord. One of the things that I love to do to strengthen my faith, I got to do last night, other than the beautiful retreat on Saturday. I know I started talking about that, but it was just so powerful. It was a trust retreat. Remarkable, miraculous things happened. Just incredible. I've been blogging about it. So if you want to learn more, go to reconciletoyou.com. Really, if you're thinking about having a retreat at your church, please contact me. I would love to talk to you. What this church did was they committed to pay my fee, and then they did it free of charge to anyone who wanted to come, and then they asked for a free will offering. I didn't get into logistics or the exact amounts because it's none of my business, but I did want to know from them if they got enough to cover my fee, because I was just curious, because I always charge and I don't like charging. I don't feel comfortable charging because I know that that excludes certain people from coming. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to do what they're doing, was just to, hey, come. And if you're there and you're feeling moved or touched to share a little bit to help me do this again someplace else. So on August 17th, no, not at all, August 13th, Holy Family Parish in East Taunton, Middleborough Avenue, I'm going to have a forgiveness retreat special for the Year of Mercy. And it's going to be my first free retreat. I'm going to be offering that free of charge for anyone, any women. It's going to be women's retreat. Any women that want to come, have their hearts just explore what the Lord has to say about forgiveness. That's often something that we have to talk about in marriage. It's one of their first chapters in this book, The Four Keys to Everlasting Love. You're called to be faithful and forgiving. Forgiveness is super duper difficult, especially to forgive ourselves. It's difficult. And I want to give as much opportunity for people to come and to hear what God has to say. It's His message. I'm trying to be like St. Paul, who gave, speaking of giving freely, right? He gave the word freely. And when people could help, he accepted that help. So I think this is a big step in trust for me. And I hope that you will write down August 13th, Middleborough Avenue in East Taunton, Massachusetts, Holy Family Parish Center. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to spend time with you free of charge. Bring your friends. I'll have registration up soon because I want people to at least reserve seats so we can, it's morning only, 8:30 to noon, so we can prepare our breakfasts and stuff. So just have a second breakfasts. I wonder if they know about second breakfasts. I think that's my favorite line in that whole book. Anyway, sorry, little Hobbit moment there. Little Frodo. I won't talk about my Frodo feet. Do you have Frodo? I have Frodo feet. Anyway, can't help it. Totally squirreling. Coming back, Christina Trinidad was here on Monday, and she was sharing about her new wonderful podcast with the Life of the Catholic Librarian, Tiffany Walsh, and it's called Planned, Not Scripted. And I finally got to listen, and in episode 2, Christina goes down some rabbit holes, and she names that kind of tangent Alison Jingrising. I love it. It's very true. It's a very squirrely thing to do. So having God in your life, and how do you, easy for me to have said, how do you grow in that? You have to spend time with Him. You have to continually not only work on your relationship with the person in your life, your spouse, your children, your family, your parents, but you also need to be, and more importantly, working on your relationship with God, because it's His grace that makes the other relationships work the way that they're supposed to work, in the most beautiful, flawed way they can. So prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And what I got to do last night was go to something called Lift. You can go to liftedhigher.com to learn more. They travel. Oh, let me get back to real quick. So if you want to bring me to your church, we can talk about coming in and doing this free of charge with a free will offer. You just have to cover my travel if we're going to be doing it outside of Massachusetts. But moving back to liftedhigher.com. It's a night of incredible praise and worship music. And then Adoration Hour, they had a fantastic speaker last night. I realized that I had announced to everybody that it was Cardinal Sean O'Malley, and I realized why when I got home. His name was Father Sean. I don't even know what his last name was. I think Connell. And it was at Cardinal Cushing High School. So I see now why I took Father Sean and got Cardinal Sean, because I'm Allison and I half read things. Please stay tuned. We're going to read more. We're going to half read Four Keys to Everlasting Love by Carrie and Manuel Santos. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingras here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jingras here on Redbox Media. If you'd like to join the conversation today, I invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I'm also always open to and would love to receive any of your feedback. It's Allison at breadboxmedia.com. Any books you'd like to see us talk about, topics you'd like to see us look for books about, if you need a book suggestion. I'm still so excited that people reach out to me for book recommendations. The other day, I got an email from a nice man named Chip looking for some recommendations for his wife. I thought that was so sweet. Like, that to me, that's a sacramental marriage. That's love. You know, caring for another person's soul and for helping them grow in faith, grow closer to Christ, help them to become saints. Like, that's our ultimate goal for the people that we love in our lives, for our children and for our spouses. Our ultimate goal in life is to help them to become a saint. And I thought that was so sweet that he reached out, asked, you know, for some suggestions. And I know he purchased at least one and she enjoyed it. I hope she likes the second choice recommendation I made. It's kind of a little scary to make recommendations. But the good thing is that I never recommend a book that I haven't read. And you always have the opportunity, because almost every single book I'm going to recommend that I've read, we've talked about here on A Seeking Heart. So if you go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com, there are all the episodes of A Seeking Heart since we started in January 2015, and every book. And you can actually go to you can search, there's a search there at breadboxmedia.podbean.com to find an episode, or you can go to reconciledtoyou.com. You can click on radio show and scroll down just a tiny bit, and you'll find on the right there is a slideshow. You can like slide, flip through it, of every single book I've done. And I've linked most of them to the interview. It's linked to some podcasts. Most of them are linked to the interview with the author, which I think is a great way to find out, because that's more the review part. You know, when I'm talking about it, the 2 or 3 days leading up to the author being on the show, as you know, I swirl. I just talk about how the book inspired my heart. I don't always talk specifically about the book. But you know that if I'm talking about it, I recommend it. It's touched my heart. It has brought me closer to God. I find it a worthwhile read and a worthwhile purchase or library visit, whichever. So excited to share this book with you this week, The 4 Keys to Everlasting Love, How Your Catholic Marriage Can Bring You Joy for a Lifetime, Carrie and Manuel Santos. And this is out from Ave Maria Press. And they talk about the 4 keys, and they break these down in the book, but the 4 main keys are called to be faithful and forgiving, called to be free, called to be fruitful, called to love totally and forever. Those are the 4 keys that they go into great detail in this book. Again, the 4 keys to everlasting love. I'm throwing something away. I forget. I go to throw something away and I leave the microphone. And I think, oh, wait. You can't exactly hear me if I'm away from the microphone. At the urging of St. Paul, John Paul, or Pope St. John Paul, Carrie and, I'm going to just say this is Carrie. Is this Carrie? Oh, it's Carrie and Manny. But since Carrie is going to come on the show, and to kind of keep me from getting too confused, we're just going to refer to, when I'm referring to the author of the book, I'm going to refer to Carrie Santos. And again, they are at canwecana.com. I'm sure as a loving husband, he would happily defer that to his wife and let her get all the credit. Just makes my life easier. So at the urging of Pope St. John Paul, the Pontifical Council for the Families identified a number of crucial lessons that would benefit couples the most, including the following: becoming united to one another in body, mind, and soul, learning to love your in-laws, bringing meaning and balance to your work life, taking stewardship of your finances, being a family at the service of other families, welcoming children with joy, accepting special needs children with open arms, raising children to be successful saints, staying together through praying together, and imitating the example of the Holy Family. Beautiful points. And so Carrie goes on to explain how those fit into this book. Again, the four keys to everlasting love from Ave Maria Press. Unlike most marriage preparation courses and marriage advice books, the Four Keys to Everlasting Love unpacks church teaching on every recommended topic, filled with explanations based on Scripture, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and the writings of St. Paul John Paul II. The book also includes helpful advice for living the faith when confronted with modern day challenges. It highlights real world problems and solutions by sharing stories based on our work as pre-caner teachers. Again, that's Carrie and Manny Santos. Their work as pre-caner teachers, as well as detailed case studies, mostly drawn from the patients seeking help in therapy. And again, Manny is a therapist. It's Dr. Manny Santos. The case studies provide examples of the best and worst ways for couples to handle common pitfalls. Reflection questions, Allison's favorite, because now you can do them with your spouse. Small group, talk about small group. Or you can actually do them with a small group. You can use them in your pre-cana. I love questions. I know somebody said the other day that they're coming passe, and I don't know why every book has to have a list of questions. Well, it's because it's a formula that works. People like questions. I do anyway, and I'm people. So there. Test study done. Reflection questions encourage you to analyze, Carrie writes, how well the couple reacted and to think through what you might have done in their place. I love those. The book also offers a glimpse inside our personal lives in the hopes that our experiences and struggles can help you in your journey. In these personal stories, the two of us did, said, and thought different things, so we can't always use the word we. In most cases, we use Manny to refer to Dr. Santos and I to refer to Carrie, but you also get to hear directly from Manny in his own voice and stories interspersed throughout the book. So see, I guess I must have read that, so I wasn't wrong in saying this is Carrie. So how to use the book? I always think that's an important thing to share with you. The book is accessible enough for individuals or couples to read on their own and informative enough to work as a text for a class. It speaks equally to engaged couples and married couples, since many of these issues they face are ultimately the same. Although you can read this book on your own, we encourage you to read it as a couple or in a small group setting with other couples. Marriage is not something that can easily succeed on its own. Our marriages are nourished by the example and friendship of other faith-filled couples. It helps to have companions on the journey. You might choose to use this book in a book club or parenting support group, as part of a parish marriage enrichment program or pre-cana program, as part of your training to facilitate one of these groups. So pretty excited. Lots of different ways to use this book. And again, you can go to canwecana.blogspot.com for more on Carrie and Dr. Santos. They're free downloadable worksheets that they have there. They're also available. And they also write a regular column over at CatholicMom.com. We'll have more information about all of this on Friday when Carrie is here with us. But let's look at some of these keys in a more specific and personal way. I thought it was quite an interesting coincidence, or godsidence, as Allison would say, that our topic in our weekly study, we're doing a Stacy Mitch book called Courageous Generosity, and that's from Emmaus Road Publication. But our topic this week and next is all about marriage and children. So I thought that was interesting. I love when all of those, like, your worlds all diverge, and so you can kind of help us assimilate this information better in your head and use it in real life. I find that just totally God at work. Totally. So she talks about how, and we're going to talk about this on Friday in more detail, but the introvert means the meets the extrovert. How do you handle a couple who has completely different personalities? And I thought about me and Kevin. And Kevin and I have a similar ridiculous sense of humor that really helps us to bond. But we're very, very different. Like, he could be outside 24/7. I hate going from the car to the house. Like, that's too much outside. There's days that I embarrass him in public, and days he embarrasses me. And then there's times that we embarrass each other together. Like, we're just embarrassing. We went on Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And I know so many people love it. They've gotten many blessings out of it. I wish Kevin and I could have said the same. There was just something about it that just didn't click with us. And we were totally embarrassing. Everything, we were giggle fitting through the whole thing. We were just juvenile. Total. I think it was, honestly, we were leaving very shortly after that for our trip to China to adopt Faith. I think we were in a different place. I think we were so overtired and overstressed that we allowed everything to be funny, even when it wasn't. It's not good when you are in your 40s and the priest is giving you the "are you for real" look down the side of his nose over the top of his glasses. We'll be right back with more about the four keys to everlasting love. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back. Where are we? Oh, A Seeking Heart. You know what I was just doing? So anyway, welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. After a year and a half, that should come out of my... I sleep and dream those words. Anyway, I was Pinteresting. Do you ever just open up Pinterest on your phone, the app on your phone? It is the most addicting and peaceful activity in the world. I just love to go through the pictures and swipe my finger across it and pin. I get lost. I get totally lost. My Pinterest and all of my social media, I realized the other day, is very Catholic. And what I mean by that is the things that I search, the people I follow, everything that I do, I guess I have made that step into making my faith part of my breathing, part of my 24/7, Catholic 24/7, I think I am. And I didn't realize it until I was looking at something on my son's phone. I was like, whoa, what, whoa, where does all this come from? Like, this is not on the internet. He's like, yeah, Mom, yeah, it totally is. So get your head out of your Catholic sand. Hi, I thought I was going to say something else. I'm not taking it out. I like it in there. I like my little Catholic bubble sometimes because it's encouraging in there. It's safe in there. It's peaceful. And I have anxiety. I need peace. And I find peace in God. That was the scripture yesterday. My peace I leave you, not as the world gives. Because the world, I don't know. I can't find a whole lot of peace in this world. A little bit. I don't mean to be all doom and gloom. But I do like my Catholic bubble. You know, going to Lyft last night, liftedhigher.com for more information on that. Going to the retreat on Saturday and being with, did I mention 130 women showed up? That is incredible. I think when you remove that barrier of having to pay, people come seeking what God has to say. So I think I'm going to be doing that. Pray for me for that, because that's a big step in faith. But you know what? I think it's important because this is God's message. And the more I try to capitalize on it, the less money I'm going to make. And that God has showed me since I started this many years ago. In fact, if you want to know more, go to reconciledtoyou.com today. Click on the blog. Or if you're listening to this later than April 27th, Wednesday, April 27th, go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on the blog, and search for the Worth Revisit, the Badass One. my badass edition of Worth Revisit. And in there, I talk about when I started into ministry, and my spiritual director really set me on course. Like, who are you doing this for? And what is your motives? Purity of intention. That is crucial in everything we do, including your relationship with your spouse or whoever, your children, your parents, whoever you're in relationship with. Kevin and I got married really young. I was still in college. He was working. We started in debt. We kind of rolled on in debt. We never, ever pulled ourselves out of debt ever in the 27 years we've been together. We've gotten close a few times, and then something will happen, either an emergency or we decide to go to China and adopt a little girl. She's worth every penny. Or I have a baby and I, you know, stop working, or we need a new car. Something always happens. And I love that the Lord, even 26 years later, is still helping us to be molded into a better version of ourselves, helping us to mold this relationship to be one that's life-giving and affirming. And the biggest thing that happened in the last year was I had John and Evelyn Bean on Compass Catholic. There we go. You're navigating God. Navigating Your Finances God's Way. They have a show here on Breadbox Media on the weekends called Your Finances God's Way. I had them on, and after the show, they'd listened to me talk about our finances for a couple of shows, and then afterwards they said, hey, would you be interested in talking about the navigating Your Finances God's Way, on your blog? Would you be interested in doing it with your spouse, with a small group? The weirdest part of that was I had already decided it. I was already thinking I was going to purchase it and do it. And so they're very generous. They sent me two copies, one that my husband and I use, one that we shared with friends. And it has been just unbelievable. The transformation, not in our finances, sadly. I mean, we're getting there. It's just a way harder process than I thought it was going to be. I thought, give me the book, I'll read it or not, and it will just magically fix my problems. It hasn't. But as I did read it, as I do read it, we're on week 7. God is definitely changing our hearts, helping us to make better choices. Like, we got to where we are from a series of poor choices. This is how I got overweight. This is how our marriage at the very early part of it went south, why we needed counseling, why we needed to go beyond ourselves and find a higher power. And in us, it was God. It was Catholic faith. We needed to turn to that to strengthen it, to write it back on its track. And I love that the Lord just is so gentle and kind. It gives you everything you need to do these things. It's just accepting them and being open to them. And one of the greatest things that's come from navigating your finances God's Way, compasscatholic.org, if you want more information, was that Kevin and I finally, for the first time, talked about our finances. I didn't realize how sneaky I was, kind of embarrassed to admit that, but it's a true story. Because of my own mental issues, the abuse, my own insecurities, and trying to feel better. I definitely have a spending problem. I get a thrill when I'm spending money. I get like an adrenaline rush that I need to be very careful about. Adding to the world, online shopping was like the worst thing that could happen to shopping addicts. Can I tell you? It's just like any time, night or day, I could fulfill that fix. And I changed over all of our dishes one year. And the saddest part of that was those dishes had been purchased by his mom at a supermarket. She had used these super stamps, and it had so much history and beauty behind it. And loser Allison gave them all away. I mean, they blessed somebody else, and that's wonderful. And I kept maybe two of the dishes, but And they were strong and sturdy and perfect. But no, Allison had to have, and I had to have better, which actually they turned out to not be better. But I thought they would be because everybody had this brand, and I always felt left out because I had, you know, Fernandes dishes and not whatever. I can't even say the name of these. But anyway, I never asked Kevin, how do you feel about me buying new dishes and getting rid of the ones your mother gave us? I never asked him. I actually went and bought a car, a $30,000 car, and never asked him about it. I just kind of came home and said, I bought this, and I really never gave him an out. And he's so kind and sweet and eager to make me happy that he purchased it. And it wasn't just until recently when I outed myself of putting ourselves in tremendous debt that he started to voice, I never wanted to do that. I never thought that was a good idea. I tried to stop you, but I realized I steamrolled him. And that's a difficult thing. And the fact that our marriage is still together really is a testament to the power of including the sacraments and in your marriage and including God and allowing yourselves to be humbled in whatever way that is. Like for us, we humbled ourselves to go to counseling at first. And I think that we've overcome so many of our obstacles now because shortly after we got married, well, probably four years in, we started to go back to Mass and started to let God in a stronger and more powerful way. And I think that even when we didn't realize the grace of our sacramental marriage was at work, because, you know, the marriage in the church is a sacrament, and the sacrament is the outward sign of God's grace at work. We have baptism and we have confirmation, and we think those are just a one-time thing, just like marriage is. We look at that to be, God willing, a one-time thing, but it's not just, the grace isn't just one day. It's ongoing, and we can call upon that grace as often as we need to. And there's some days I'm calling on that quite often. You know, yesterday we were trying to have a civil conversation with our 20-year-old son, except for our timing was really poor because he was overtired and sick. And my husband's not always really sensitive to how people are feeling emotionally. And at that moment, I really needed to call upon our sacraments, the grace of our sacraments, sacramental marriage, to have the Lord bring grace upon that moment, to bring peace, to give me the words to speak. I spent a lot of time begging our guardian angels this morning to bring peace and tranquility back to their home, which the Lord has done. It's amazing when you have conversations with people aside from inviting God in, and when you invite God in, there is strife and hurt and pain when, in our case anyway, when we've tried to deal with especially really difficult subjects without God. But yet when we pray, even if we're praying in the moment in our heads feverishly, like I was last night and this morning, God shows up. He never leaves you hanging. There's no one more faithful in this world than the Lord. He is faithful. He calls us to be faithful, but he doesn't call us to do that without the help of his grace, his undeserved yet freely given gift of his Holy Spirit in and within each and every one of us. Oh, such beautiful things that Catholic marriage is. Our Catholic faith has so much to offer, and I'm so happy that the Lord's given me an opportunity to share with you what I never knew. We're going to pick up tomorrow with Four Keys to Everlasting Love out from Ave Maria Press. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.